Diary, December 1893. Sydney and Melbourne, Australia, December 20th to 30th, 1893. Sydney, Australia, Wednesday morning. It is pleasant and the sea is calm. We shall be in the harbor at 9 o'clock a.m. International Tract and Mission House. We are pleased to be on land. We were welcomed by brother and sister Riki. We have not eaten for 2 days and feel like not eating today, but we must eat. We have some mail to look over. A letter from Edson interests us very much. Indeed, it is like the prodigal son returned to his father's house. Edson and wife are obtaining a rich experience. There cannot be a doubt but that the Lord is leading him step by step in the path of submission to His will and to His way. I praise the Lord. I read and wept, and Elder Olson wept as I read some portions of the letter to him. Tract and Mission House, Sydney. We left Sydney in the morning. Elder Olson, W.C. White, Brother McKersney, Mackenzie, Emily, and I to visit Fountaindale Estate, 50 miles from Sydney. Sydney, Australia. We are planning to speak in Sydney Sabbath afternoon. Elder Olson speaks in the forenoon. The house was quite well filled, and there were quite a number of outsiders in to hear who had not been much interested, but now were seeming to be aroused and convicted. Elder Olson gave a powerful discourse upon the near approach of troublous times. The evidences of the closing scenes of this earth's history were presented before them in clear lines. He then went directly to Parramatta, spoke in the afternoon to the church there, and returned in the evening. I spoke in the afternoon with freedom from John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 1. Then we had a social meeting, and many good testimonies were born. Many mentioned the week of prayer and how much they had been benefited and blessed. I can say this day has been a precious day to my soul. Early Sabbath morning, Brother Robert Hare came from Parramatta to see if I would consent to speak at Kellyville in the new church at that place, as they were very desirous to see me and hear me speak. I had appointment to speak at Parramatta Sunday evening. I questioned the matter. Elder Olson thought I ought not to speak twice the same day, but I thought over it a little and decided the Lord would strengthen me and said I would go. Sydney, Australia. Sunday morning we took early train, Elder Olson, Emily, and I, for Parramatta. Brother Hughes took us from the station in his covered carriage to Kellyville, 10 miles. We met Willie at Brother McKersney's. We had a short rest and then rode about 2 miles to the little new church where our people were assembled to worship God. I spoke to them with much freedom in regard to the mission of Christ to our world. There were a good-looking, intelligent people assembled, and I felt it a privilege to speak to them. They seemed much interested. This little company of 30 had been raised up since we left Sydney nearly 1 year ago, on our way from Melbourne to New Zealand. Oh, how grateful were our hearts to God to see these souls brought to the knowledge of the truth and manifesting zeal and earnestness to build them a house of worship, which was nearly free from debt. All seemed to accept us with joy and to be deeply interested in the word spoken. We then rode back to Brother Hughes to dinner, Willie taking the place of Elder Olson. Elder Olson spoke in the evening at Kellyville. I spoke in the evening at Parramatta in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. There were many unbelievers present. The Lord blessed me in speaking upon the birth of Christ and the Christmas offerings, the great sacrifice made by Jesus Christ to save a lost world. Parramatta, New South Wales. We decided to remain the night in Parramatta. This morning at 5 called Willie. He is one of a company of 4 who are to ride out 15 miles to view a tract of land for sale, to see its advantages for school buildings. The climate in New South Wales is far ahead of anything we have seen in Victoria. Brother Hughes takes them out with his horse and carriage. Emily and I and 3 of Brother Hughes' girls ride out. Brother Roundstrutter rode out with a team I hired to see the country. We see many nice farms, mostly orchards, in a healthy, profitable condition. We see that fruit in this country cannot be as high priced as in Victoria. We had the clouds hanging over us like a curtain all the forenoon, but no rain. The fruit farms and vegetables need rain. Everything is dry and dusty. We rode about 28 miles and viewed the prospects of the country, and we think we see many localities where the truth should be presented. We returned to Parramatta about 2 o'clock. About 3 o'clock, the company who had left very early returned. They had seen the place recommended and were not satisfied with it. That evening, about 5 p.m., we returned on the train to Sydney, and decision was made that we should take an early train for Mossvale to stop off and examine a tract of land that Elder Daniels had seen. Tuesday morning we were astir, 3:15 a.m., and made as hasty preparation as possible to prepare bundles and satchels and ourselves to take cab for the train. In the night, we had heavy thunder and lightning and smart showers. The dust was laid, and we were very thankful. The sky was clear and the air bracing. After reaching the depot, we found a little box of a compartment with one hard, uncushioned seat on one side, about as uncomfortable as it could be arranged. Willie would not permit me to enter it, and placed Emily and me in the first-class compartment, which was comfortable. Brother Olson, Brother McKersney, and Willie White accepted the situation and rode in the inconvenient arrangements for 90 miles. Emily and I lay down and had a comfortable sleep. We stopped at the depot where we could view the land and hired horse and carriage. We viewed a nice 1,000-acre tract of land at 10 and 15 pounds per acre. It was not used for much except grazing, a dairy farm. We were hungry, and we purchased milk and bread at a milk factory and satisfied our hunger. Then we were shown the tract of land. The soil was good, but the climate would not admit of raising oranges and lemons because of frost and snows. The land was not altogether level, slightly rolling. This did not please us entirely. The sum of money asked for it would be more than we could pay. We rode back in cars to Mossvale Station and hired a horse, and all rode out 2 hours to see the country. It is a very nice country. We then purchased fruit and milk and bread and took a lunch, and at 8:30 our train to Melbourne came along. We stepped on board, and the porter showed us a nice drawing room which he gave to us to occupy that night. On train for Melbourne. We had a beautiful morning. The air seemed fresh and invigorating. We passed much level land, seeing much of the way only skeletons of gum trees, dead and dismal looking. We ate our simple breakfast of bread and fruit. Our brethren and sister Riki were in second-class compartment, and they partook of the same bread and fruit. We did not patronize the restaurant, for a cup of warm drink and a slice of bread costs money at these restaurants. We, Emily and I, had first-class advantages, for we cannot get a sleeper unless we pay for first-class carriage all the way through, and it was deemed the only safe thing I could do. As we neared Melbourne at 8:00, W.C. White, Elder Olson, and Brother McKersney left the train to view the land. They will be in Melbourne Friday. We were glad to meet Elder Starr again at the depot, and we took a carriage for Bank Terrace and were glad to meet friends again. We had much to say, and I became almost weary in talking. Met Marion Davis in the evening and Eliza Burnham. Had a pleasant visit with them. We had a misty rain in the afternoon. I was very nervous last night and could not rest for some time. My kidneys pained me. I am so thankful I did sleep very well the latter part of the night. This morning, I am feeling as well as usual. I arose at 4:30 and commenced writing. The sky is covered with a thick blanket of clouds. There is much business going on today. A telegram coming from Pitcairn brings the sad intelligence to Brother McCoy that there are deaths in his family, but does not state who has died. A telegram is sent for answer to the inquiry, who have fallen in death. Brother McCoy is as one stricken by the palsy. All are seeking to render him all the assistance it is possible for them to give. I conversed with him for about 1 hour, and I think it did him good. He feels deeply over the intelligence given. His heart seems as if it would break. We had a praying season in union with Brother and Sister Starr. The Lord came graciously near and comforted and blessed the afflicted one. Telegram received from Willie that they would be at the depot that night at 10:30. It has been a rainy day. This day is a very busy day. The rain is falling steadily. The furniture and bedding are being removed to the campground. Everything is in confusion. This day, a telegram came responding that Brother McCoy's wife and daughter, Ella Mae McCoy, were dead. Also, Brother Young, elder of the church, the father of Brother McCoy's wife. Here are three cut right out of the family. We cannot be surprised at the great grief of our afflicted brother. He seems bowed to the very earth with his great sorrow. We feel like weeping with him, but direct him to Jesus. The weather is pleasant, quite warm. Elder Olson spoke to the believers on Sabbath at 11 a.m. There was a goodly number assembled of believers and some unbelievers. After the discourse in the morning, they had an interesting social meeting. Many bore good testimonies in regard to the meeting and the discourse. During the week of prayer, they had received much benefit and rejoiced because of the privileges they had enjoyed. Afternoon meeting at 5 p.m. The tent was full. Elder Olson spoke, then Elder Corliss. Both came right to the point. I spoke a short time. All the ministers present took part in the meeting. This was a profitable meeting. After meeting closed, Elder Starr, his wife, and Brother McCoy rode home in my carriage. We find our horse Maggie in good condition. She is much improved every way and is presenting a much better appearance than when we left her. The phaeton has been newly painted and repairs made, and the carriage looks like new.